Well, I trust you enjoyed the service this morning. We've had a great day, and you got a message and some extra. I even threw in some stuff there that might help some of us married folks. Amen. Wasn't in the notes. That was just free for nothing. You know, I started that out and didn't really plan to say that. And I thought, well, that might help somebody's relationship. And then I had to elaborate a little bit to help my relationship, you know. Well, that stuff's got to come out right. You got to think about how you present that. And so I didn't want to put the wrong slant on that topic. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm glad things came out well. And thank you for taking it in good humor. Hey, it's just great to have fun in God's house and to be able to apply God's truth to real life in a way that helps us all. Proverbs chapter 19 is where we are. Good to be back after an afternoon of refreshing. I trust you had a good lunch, maybe a little nap. And Sunday's a great day for that, isn't it? Just a little afternoon nap and get refreshed and then come back for another dose of fellowship. You got to enjoy it, soak it up while you can, because we're going to go right into the week. You know how it is. It almost seems like they run together anyway. And we're going to go right into the week. And what you're going to get tonight and today, you know, you're going to need that at some point during the week. And you'll be able to draw from it because you came. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Proverbs 19. We're going through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, and we've just been preaching through each chapter, and we're on chapter 19 tonight. And if you would, we'll just read a couple of verses together, and then we'll be seated, and we'll complete the chapter like we've been doing, just kind of reading it together all the way down, all right? So Proverbs 19, if you found your place, we're going to stand, have prayer, we'll read a few verses, give you our thought, and then we'll read through the chapter together. Let's pray. Father, how we love you tonight and how we are so thankful for this book of the Bible. The book of Proverbs has practical, useful, everyday wisdom, things that we can take hold of and put into practice in our everyday lives. Lord, there are often things that challenge us and maybe change us a little bit when we put them into practice, but they're so helpful so that we might function and operate our lives, Lord, and do the things that you'd have us do. And so we pray, Lord, tonight you'd be our teacher and guide as we go through the scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us about our lives and how you'd have us live it. Lord, show us what you'd have us do tonight as we glean a little wisdom from this book of Proverbs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you so much. We're going to begin in verse 1 and just read a few verses. Notice the Bible says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." You know, we're just reading about everyday life right here. And here we're already seeing Solomon dropping some wisdom for us, things that we can see happen, we can use every day. And notice how he talks about the foolish man perverteth his way. Boy, who wants to do that? You know, who wants to trip themselves up to make their own path harder? Shoot yourself in the foot, right? Nobody wants to do that. Well, then read the book of Proverbs. God has some great things for us. And this chapter, I believe, contains what I'm going to call tonight some helpful hints for a happy life. Helpful hints for a happy life. Thank you. You may be seated. And we'll pick up right there. Verse 3, we've read together. And so verse 4, we'll read aloud together. And then I'll read 5 and 6. And we'll read verse 7 together and so forth. All right? So verse 4, ready? Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Verse 5 and 6, a false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Verse 7, ready? All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Verses 8 and 9. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Verse 10, ready? Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Verses 11 and 12, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Verse 13, ready? A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Verses 14 and 15, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Verse 16, ready? He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. Verses 17 and 18, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Verse 19, ready? A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Verses 20 and 21, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Verse 22, ready? The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Verses 23 and 24, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Verse 25, ready? Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Verses 26 and 27, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Verse 28, ready? An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Wow, what a chapter. Well, I told you we would see some things that we could put to use in everyday life. And here Solomon just gives practical tips and wisdom all throughout the chapter. There's not really a common theme here except that all of these are practical for everyday things. We see him speaking about topics of interest and reality and real issues that we face on a daily basis. Helpful hints for a happy life. Well, let's look at a few of those. Beginning with verses 2 and 3, we're going to see what Solomon has to say about the power of perspective and the importance of knowledge. Notice the Bible says in verses 2 and 3, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So we find that he speaks about a few things here that we should think about tonight. First of all, the soul being without knowledge. You know, the Bible says in the prophets, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Somebody said one time, what you don't know can't hurt you. But I submit to you that they were wrong. There are times when what you don't know can and will hurt you. And it's important, especially when it comes to important things, that we try to be aware and do some preparation ahead of time. I believe that's why also in Solomon he says, he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. And why is that? Well, because there is a need for preparation. There is a need for knowledge, and there's a need to prepare for things at some times more than others. But we need to know what we're getting into, and we need to prepare for what's ahead. Especially if you're going to render a job well done, then you want to prepare for that and be ready for the task. Now, some of this is perspective, right? So Solomon is lending some perspective. Someone starting out may not have this perspective, and they may not see the needs that present themselves in these verses. But Solomon, speaking through experience, has that perspective of wisdom. And he's saying that we would be far better off if we look at these things, if we have knowledge, if we take time to prepare, and if certainly if we don't pervert our way. I didn't comment on verse 3, but it says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And so when we allow ourselves to do foolish things, we find that often we trip ourselves up. We become our own worst enemy. You know, I remember hearing somebody say one time, he said, my problem is the man in the mirror. And, you know, I think you'll find that that's one of life's greatest challenges for you to lead yourself. You know, it's easy to tell others no, but can you tell yourself no? Can you restrain yourself? Can you get yourself to do the right thing? And those are challenging tasks. So what is he saying to us here in these verses? He's saying, and this would be number one if you're taking notes, he's saying, have the right perspective. Have the right perspective. And you know, perspective is important. When we look around in our day, you read the news headlines, you're going to see right away that America is divided. And she's divided in this matter of perspective. The vantage point from which you see the issues of life will determine the direction you go on those issues. And so it would behoove us tonight to have the right perspective. Solomon is certainly highlighting the need for that. And as we look at life, we would have to say, amen. God is right. The Bible's true. The right perspective is important. And it's important that we have knowledge before we move ahead in our lives. So think about that come November. Amen. Let's have the right perspective. Hey, notice in verses 5 and verse 9, we have our next helpful hint. Helpful hints for a happy life. Here's one, verse 5 and 9. Number 2, if you're taking notes, is always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Hey, by the way, I found out a long time ago, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to keep up with what you said. And by the way, there's only one truth, and that's the truth. You know, this world will sell you a bill of goods, and they'll tell you there's my truth and her truth and his truth and their truth. Oh, man, everybody's got a truth. Sounds like old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. How many truths are there? As many animals as on the farm. You know, that's not the reality of the world I live in. Most of the time, there's just one truth, and that's the truth. And it starts with truth personified, right? If you know the truth giver, then you'll be able to identify the truth when it comes along. And so get to know him. Always tell the truth. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You know, sometimes we look around at life and it looks like the people that lie and cheat and steal and all that, it looks like they're the ones that get ahead. We don't always see their judgment. We don't always see the problems that they inflict upon themselves. But you trust God. Believe this word tonight, I'm telling you. The Bible says they will not escape. And they're not escaping down here, I'll give you that. Even if you may not see them get caught in it. But there is coming a day when they will not escape. When they will bow the knee. When they will give an account. The Lord will settle the score one day. The Bible says in Revelation, all liars shall have their part, right? God knows how to keep score. And tonight, we'd be better off if we just leave that tally to him. And in the meantime, let's just be honest and let's tell the truth. Verse 9 is our next verse. Notice it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. So again, I see little references down for other verses in Proverbs as I'm reading these. Your Bible may have that as well. And hey, help yourself. Do a little word study sometime and check out what the Bible says about false witnesses and about lies and all of that. It's not good. And so tonight, if you want to have a happy life, then the hint for you is always tell the truth. Stay on the side of good and on the side of God. Be honest and tell the truth. Our next hint is found, if you'll look with me, in verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. We looked at the word understanding this morning, so that should ring a bell for us. And we're seeing that God is recommending tonight, number 3, if you're taking notes, he's telling us that we should be wise. Be wise. Notice how verse 8 talks about wisdom. He that getteth wisdom, the Bible says, loveth his own soul. You know, you're trying to do good when you're seeking wisdom. You're trying to do good for yourself when you seek God's wisdom especially. Now, I did make a note in the message this morning, if you caught it, that there is different kinds of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom. You could be streetwise. And then there's godly wisdom. Now, you can get worldly wisdom anywhere. It's just about on every corner. But if you want godly wisdom, well, you're going to have to pull up a chair and get in this book. God's Word will make you wise, and it'll help you be wise in your life. You'll find it to be good for your own soul. It's helpful to you to apply God's wisdom to your life so you can avoid the pitfalls of the world and the problems of sin and the things that it brings on, those self-inflicted storms that sin brings into our lives. God is saying, be wise, get wisdom. If you want to have a happy life, boy, that is a helpful hint right there, number 3. And then number 4 is found in verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now we look at that word discretion, and you can mark that in your Bible if you're in the habit of taking notes in your Bible, and maybe somewhere out in the margin, you just put muscle right there. I'm going to tell you what, discipline and discretion, discernment, you know, we use those words fairly easily, but I want you to understand, when those words are applied to real life, you're talking about flexing some spiritual muscle right here. This takes some work to have discernment, to have discipline. So what's the hint? What's the tip? The tip is, number 4, have self-control. Have self-control. Be able to control your emotions. You want to stand out in the crowd? I'm going to tell you what. Control your emotions. Hey, there's a lot. Look around. There's a lot of people today that don't know how to do that. They're having a hard time thinking before they speak. Control your emotions. Look, I know it's a challenge. It's hard for all of us, some more than others. But the Bible says we should do that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that's one of the benefits of walking with God. If you're learning the Word of God and you're growing spiritually, the Bible says over in Galatians that one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. And temperance means self-control. So don't give me that garbage about, you know, well, this is the way I am. It might be the way you are, but it's not the way God wants to leave you. You know, it's great that God, hey, He's willing to take us however we are. But you know, it's never been God's will to leave you that way. God changes every one of His children. God grows us. God strengthens us. And as He does, He expects us then to show forth, to manifest some of the fruit of His Spirit residing in us. And that would, one of those would be temperance, self-control. Notice how in verse 11, how it talks about controlling your anger. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That word deferreth is talking about like putting it off, reserving your anger, holding it back. You know, we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to use emotional energy in our benefit, to our favor. We need to learn how to do that. It's difficult. I told you it was going to take some muscle, right? And it certainly will. It's called discretion. Discretion is something you have to develop in your life. There's different levels of discretion. You've probably been watching a movie sometime, and it said parental discretion advised. Right? That means there's another level of discretion that's needed to determine whether or not the youths in the room should view this. different levels of discretion. You know, as Christians, there are different levels of discretion as well. And we need to think about that. We need to develop that in our own lives so that we can control our emotions. Then the last part of that verse says, and it is His glory to pass over a transgression. You know, I don't know, that's a great word picture. But it's talking about how somebody transgresses against you. If you can control your emotions, you can pass over that. You can forgive and move on. Hey, how many of you are glad tonight God forgave and moved on with us? Oh, man. The Lord's good, isn't He? I'm glad God doesn't just stay right there and harp on my sin, aren't you? He doesn't just come to my door every day saying, you know, you remember. Praise God. And you know, it's great when we can exercise that same ability with others. Now look, there's a time to hold people accountable. There is a time to hold people accountable. There's a time to forgive and move on, but you don't ever forget. I'm not talking about holding a grudge. I'm talking about allowing somebody to continue in unrighteousness. We shouldn't do that. Okay? We need to encourage repentance. And we need to be willing to accept repentance when it comes. Right? And you've heard me say before, forgiveness without repentance is license. And if we're too free with forgiveness and we pronounce that on everybody all the time, so there's a balance here. There's a balance. That's why it says it's His glory to pass over transgression. In other words, there's a time for that, but it's not all the time. If you're too automatic with your forgiveness and pronouncing it on everybody, then the person who wrongs you, they don't see any reason to change their behavior. And you know, what we don't want to do is we don't want to enable wrong behavior to continue. We need to address it. And there's a time. There's a time for accountability and so forth. So I'm just giving you a little bit of both sides of that. There's two sides to that subject. And if we're going to have a happy life tonight, what we need to have is self-control so that we can do all of that. We can control our own emotions, and then we can correctly address moments with others, whether we're going to forgive them or whether we're going to hold them accountable or whatever the need might be. And it is truly a glory to be able to forgive and pass over and thank God for that. Well, our next verse is verse 16. We'll read 16 and 21. And we'll see that God has given us some instruction here in Proverbs 19. Notice in verse 16, it says, "He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways shall die." And then down in verse 21, the Bible says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." The counsel of the Lord, or the word of God, listen, that is going to stand no matter how you feel about it tonight. No matter what you think about it. In the end, what's going to matter is what God says. And that's why we should all get to know His Word. That's why we should help others get to know God's Word. Because that song is true. The Bible stands. And it's going to stand through time. And I believe over there in Revelation, the Bible says we're going to be judged. And on Judgment Day, God's going to pull the books out. Now, this is not the judgment of the saved. This is the judgment of the lost. And for their benefit, right, we need to help them come to Christ. Because one of the books that's going to be present at that judgment, I believe, is going to be the Bible. And God's going to show people that they're guilty. They're sinners. They might not believe it when you and I tell them. But they're going to believe it when He tells them. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:19 that all the world becomes guilty before God and every mouth shall be stopped. They might walk in with excuses saying, "But I'm a good person." But they won't walk out saying that. God's word is true, and He certainly gives it to all of us. So what's our hint? Helpful hints for a happy life? Number five right here in these verses are telling us to, I'm just saying it like this, okay? Obey the rules. And I'm talking about God's rules of life. God's rules of life. I'm talking about his precepts. Remember that word this morning? That God has procedures. In other words, God has a way that we ought to do things. We call them principles in the Bible. I know we don't live under the commandments of the law in the Old Testament. I get that. But God's word still gives us direction. It still gives us instruction, specific things. And there are still specific things that God says that we should not do, and specific things that he says we should do. These are principles that we should obey those. We should follow, we should believe God, and we should know that it's in our best interest to obey those things. Well, the Bible says here in Proverbs that when we keep the commandment, we keep our own life. That sounds good to me, doesn't it to you? If you want to have a happy life, if you want to be right with God, then we should keep his word. We should obey the rules. I'm talking about the Bible. Now look, don't think of the Bible as a rule book. It's not a rule book. It's more like a love letter. Right? More like a love letter. God writes his word to us, and he gives it to us in story form, and we can glean from this things that'll help us and make our lives better. And you know what? They are. Our lives are better when we follow God's plan. When we do what he said, we're better off because of it. You know, as Christians, we're saved and all of that, but we're not better than any other person or people. Now, because of God's goodness in our life, because we have a home in heaven, because we try to live God's way, we may avoid some problems, and in that way, we may be better off than some people. But we're not better than them. And it's good to understand that. And that perspective right there, coming back to perspective, that perspective can help us come alongside people in our lives, people that we know and love, where we can encourage them, hey, listen, won't you come with me and follow the Lord with me? Listen, the Christian life is a great life. It's the best life I know. It's the best life there is. God said, obey the rules. You have a better life if you live for the Lord. Now in verse 17, he gives us tip number 6, which is help the poor. Number 6, notice in verse 17, the Bible says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Notice, and that which he hath given, will he, talking about the Lord, will he pay him again? You know, I find it interesting in this verse that God is kind of saying to us that he takes it personal how we treat the poor. God notices when you help them out. And God says, if you help them out, I'm going to help you out. The Bible says in another place, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. Wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, I know a man that lives that. Never seen such a generous man in all my life. I don't think the left hand knows what the right hand does. I mean, he's going about as fast as he's coming, and he's got money coming in and going out. And I'm like, man, how does he even keep up with all this? But he's one of the most generous men. I'm thinking of Brother Reynolds. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, just giving to people, helping folks, filling up their gas tank, buying them lunch. I mean, just all the time doing something for somebody. And when I see people like that, I don't know about you, but I think, man, I want to be like that. I want to be generous. I want to help people. I want to be able to do that. And you know, I've just found that you just got to start doing it. And God blesses that effort. He that hath pity on the poor, notice, God said this, not me. He said, lendeth to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? God said, I'm keeping tabs on that. He said, you help the poor, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure. You know, hey, that's a great inspirational verse. It's something that encourages us to be generous. Now, look, that doesn't mean that you don't have to have a budget. That don't mean you don't have to pay attention to your own finances. It don't mean you don't have to learn how to manage what you have, be a good steward. You certainly do. But God notices, he pays attention when we help others like that. That's a great truth for us to know as believers. I believe as God's people, God wants us to be that kind of people. Generous, helpful, giving, loving, kind. And let's work at it. May we? Verse 18, notice the next principle here in Proverbs 19. He says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. While there is hope, that's the key to this passage. You know what that means? It means early. It means when they're young. It means before you chasten your son before the problem set in. You chasten your son before the rebellious stage comes. You get ahead of the problems and you get ahead of the waywardness and all that. You chasten them early. There's another verse that uses the word betimes. All right, that's an old English word. The word betimes is before. The prefix be means early, and times, in other words, before the time. So you chasten them early. And by the way, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I believe in the right kind of chastening. If you're going to get the right result, you got to do it the right way. I'm not for beating your kids, but I'm for chastening your kids. Doing it the Bible way, if you do it right, then you can expect the fruit that God promises in His Word. You know, and if you do it right, your kids will love you for it. And by the way, your kids are smart. They're smart as you are. And they know when they did wrong and they deserve punishment. Right? Hey, I know. Looking back, I can tell you, I probably didn't get enough spankings. Right? And that's because I had good parents. They didn't abuse the privilege, but I know that what I got was needed. And I think most families that are doing the right thing, their kids will say the same thing. Now we see in verse 18, and then of course we're reading all the way through. So the Bible says here, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, thou must do it again. Here's a person that doesn't have control of their emotions. Verse 20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And so here in these verses, we got a few others, but we're seeing things that are being discussed, like chastening early, like taking good advice, making God's word a priority. Look at verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. You know who the scorner is. Remember, we talk about people in Proverbs. The scorner, he's the one that makes fun of the truth. He's really against the right way of God. He's not a fool. He doesn't deny God's existence, but he's against it. He's the one that tries to lead everybody in the opposite direction. And so what does the Bible say? Make an example out of him. Smite the scorner. And what happens to the innocent ones? Oh, they'll take note. Man, if I act like that, look what's going to happen. Right? And you can correct. You can ward off bad behavior in the simple ones by dealing with the scorner who would like to lead them astray. Notice in verse 26, he that wastes his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. This is disregard and disrespect for authority and parental authority specifically mentioned here. And so we see here, what is God saying? He's saying exercise discipline. Exercise discipline. Now, we talked about having self-control, how that you got to have some discipline to have that. But you also got to have some discipline to spank your kids when they need it or to correct them in whatever way. Sometimes it's verbal. Hey, if you do it right, sometimes you can correct them just with a look. And you know what I'm talking about, and they certainly know. Now, that works on some kids and some it doesn't. Right? That's how it was in our family. Our oldest daughter, man, we could look at her. I mean, she would straighten right up. Oh, my. She would, man, she knew what that look was. But after a while, you get down to second, third, fourth, and it's like, eh, what happens after that? Well, you're about to find out. Right? You got to have something after that. You can't just stop with the look and expect everything to be okay because, you know, after a while they start challenging that look. I'm not talking about the first one. I'm talking about the ones that come after. And they say, well, I didn't see nothing, right? And so that's when you have to come up with some, be creative, come up with some other tactics. Exercising discipline. It takes discipline to be that kind of parent. When your kids go wrong, hey, listen, there's a little work involved in chastening. Right? First of all, you got to have the right spirit. That takes some work. Don't discipline your kids in anger. So if you have to, take five, go to your bedroom, blow off the steam, whatever. Come back in the right frame of mind, and then explain what they did wrong. Make sure they understand it, right? And then explain what they should have done. And then depending on what they did, will determine how you correct them. But you have to address it. It takes discipline. You know what? You got to be consistent. Consistency is the key. I'd say for any parent, look, if there's one thing you got to get right, you got to be consistent. Be consistent. That takes discipline. You got to stop what you're doing. You got to be willing to take out the time and do it every time. And so consistency is so important. We're talking about, several topics here that require discipline, taking advice, submitting to the Lord, bowing to God's will instead of yours. Hey, there's a lot of issues in life where I'm going to tell you, if you just walk in your flesh, you're not going to see the outcome of things the way God sees it. You're going to find yourself disagreeing with God if you walk in the flesh. So as a Christian, how do you remedy that? Because you can't go around representing God to the world and talking about how you don't agree with God all the time. That's a very poor representation of God. The only way to represent God well is to stand where God stands on the issues. The world wants to make us think, they want to get you feeling bad. They want to worm you out of your position. They want to make you feel bad, like you don't have a heart. You don't care about people sometimes because of where you stand. But look, you stand where God stands, you're standing on holy ground. Stay there. Don't squirm off of that. That little piece of real estate, it's where God is. Right? You don't have to apologize. You can say this. It's not my opinion. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. As a Christian, I have a responsibility to uphold what the Bible teaches. This is God's standard. I say on occasion, and you've heard me, I didn't write the Bible. I'm not that smart. This is God's word. I'm just a messenger. And sometimes we have to say that to the world. Sometimes we have to say, look, I didn't draw the line. God drew the line. I'm just trying to stand on His side of it. Not because I don't have a heart, but because I love Him. And I know He loves me and He loves you. And if we would listen to Him, we'd be a lot better off. This world would be a lot better off. Right? Hey, we need to represent God, and it takes some discipline, doesn't it? To do that faithfully in the world that we live in. A world that often doesn't want to acknowledge God. I was watching a newscaster. I think it was a recent interview, and she was interviewing Franklin Graham. And I was amazed as I watched this interview. I was amazed how this newscaster handled Franklin Graham with kid gloves. You could tell there was a high respect for what she considered to be this man of God, and I don't have any reason to doubt that. I'm not as familiar with him as Billy Graham. I think Billy Graham had an impact on a lot of people. But as she asked him even some tough questions, she accepted his answer without rebuttal and without challenge, like they would have anybody else that was sitting there. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. They just accepted his answer. Okay. But you know what? He earned that. He earned that by taking a consistent stand, because before she asked the question, she said this: I know what your stand is, and you've been very blunt about it. Well, okay, he paid the price by saying, this is where the line is. This is what God says. This is what the Bible teaches. And it's tough sometimes to do that. with different crowds who don't accept that. But he's done it. And because he's done it, she knew where the line was. She didn't contest it in this interview. And I just thought that was very interesting. And I thought, you know, that really is the way it should be. And God willing, as we stand for him, we'll have that kind of influence on our world and people we come into contact with, that we can help them respect what God's word says and what his word teaches. And I felt like in a moment, he was able to do that, and we were seeing a glimpse of what had been accomplished in that regard. So God says, this is number 7, exercise discipline in all these areas. Exercise discipline. And then let me give you the last one. We're done. Verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the words, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Well, what is he addressing? He's addressing our attitude and our direction in life. You know, if you understand the biblical narrative, you read in the Old Testament, you learn that God chose a people, and those people got caught up in Egypt, and they grew there into a nation. And there was a time then when God called them out of that nation. The Bible says he called them unto himself. But in order to get to God, in order to be close to him, they had to leave where they were. And God brought them through the wilderness, and you know he was taking them to what we call the promised land. He was taking them to Canaan. It was their inheritance. Now, if we apply that to our everyday life, the promised land is the victory. It's the life in Christ that Jesus gives us through what he did on the cross. It's the life you and I could live if we take advantage of the power of the cross and put it into practice in our everyday life. We can be victorious. We can claim some ground in this world and in this life for God, and we can overcome, right? And so what a picture all of that is. But what does it show? It shows direction. You see, all the while God was working with them, bringing them through the wilderness and taking them to the promised land, guess what? They were going toward the Lord and they were going away from the world. So tonight I ask you, which direction are you going? Because, you know, sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes we just get fed up in life and we just turn around. And there were times when they wanted to do that. They said, hey, what are we fighting all this for? Let's just go back to Egypt. And if they could have, in those moments, boy, they sure would have. And wouldn't that have been the wrong direction? Now I ask you tonight, have you ever seen a Christian go in the wrong direction? Well, that's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight, and it's not what God wants for us. And that's why here we see Solomon saying to his son, cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Stop listening to them. Hey, tonight, who are you listening to? You know what Paul said to the Galatians? He said, who hath bewitched you? You know, it's always a who. It's not a what, it's a who. Somebody influences you to go the wrong direction. And here we find God telling us, number 8, if you're taking notes, be careful who you allow to influence you. Be careful who you allow to influence you. You know, this is an election year, and we're reminded of that every time we look anywhere. But what I'm seeing is that there's a lot of people who don't think for themselves. They're allowing somebody to influence them. And what are the results of that going to be? Man, I tell you what, if you have to get into this with people, you just need to try to get them to see a little farther than where they're looking. Think down the road just a little bit to where this leads. You know, I found that often the reason people take the wrong path is because they don't look up to see where they're going. They wake up one day and say, how in the world did I get here? Well, because way back there, you stepped off the path. But if you'll pay attention and never take the first step going the wrong way, then you won't end up in the wrong place. But it does take some discipline to live your life that way, and it takes a lot of effort to pay that much attention so that in a step, in a moment's notice, if you keep your attitude in check and if you're watching your direction to make sure you're headed the right way. Notice in these verses, he talks about an ungodly witness. He mentions the wicked and even scorners. And you know, we have to be aware that there are those people around us in our everyday life. And we have to be wise enough to know when they're speaking and not to allow those people to influence us. You don't want to be influenced by ungodly witnesses or by the wicked, and especially not by a scorner. So we have to be wise. Always tell the truth. Have the right perspective. These are just helpful hints that God has given us in this chapter through the inspiration of His Word, so that you and I can have a happy life as we live for the Lord. Let's ask God to help us, may we? Let's pray together. Father, how we love you tonight, how we thank you for this precious book, this chapter of Proverbs, and Lord, how it's encouraged us and how it's caused us to think about just some practical things that we see at work in our world every day. Lord, help us to apply these things. Help us, Lord, to be wise. And Lord, help us to be happy as we represent you to the world around us. Help us do the right thing and enjoy the benefits of it. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you as you help us make a difference in this world we live in today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.